The men who wanted to stay, they're still here. And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town for football.
Is the tundra still frozen in April?
If you could get me to go to a draft, Lambeau would be near the top.
That's
near the high of the top of my list.
He said it lived up to it.
Just Lambeau.
Dude, the frozen tundra.
God, that'd be great.
This is a draft week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
Every man must be committed to excellence. Every man must be committed to victory.
The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Hump day.
Yes, indeed, it is a hump day edition. Welcome in. Good morning.
What is happening?
How we doing?
We're doing fantastic. 34 hours, 59 minutes, and 28 seconds until the NFL draft starts.
Okay.
34 hours, 59, to count down the entire show. Yeah. Can't wait.
You seem pretty excited, like it's the Masters.
Just, I mean, this is it, man. This is such a great sporting event. Who can't wait till tomorrow night? 34 hours, we're almost there, baby.
What will the Giants do?
I don't know. Where they're going to go to? Who they going to take? I'm ready to yell. I can't wait. Friday, draft grades, they're already in my holster. A minus, B plus, C minus, D, F, A plus. Can't wait to grade it.
Do you like the draft?
No, I don't. I love the hypothetical of the random opinions that we spout out that we all acknowledge. Nobody knows what the hell is going to happen. We have no clue if these guys are going to be good or not. That part of it is fun for me. The 48 hours leading into the draft and then the 24 hours after the first round is some of the most nauseating sports media situation that we ever live in. Like the stuff that's coming out about Shador last night of an assistant coach said, it's one of the worst interviews he's ever had. This guy sucks. He's not going to be any good. Mm. His ego is through the roof. Like, we just assassinate these kids' characters in the days leading up to the draft. And then in the aftermath, we all have to pretend that we know how their careers are going to turn out. And we grade drafts. Grading drafts is one of the dumbest things we do as a sports media.
Yeah, but it's also fun.
It is fun to do. But it is you as long as you approach it tongue-in-cheek, nobody knows what they're talking about. And it's just we're spouting random opinions, then I'm fine with it. But if you give me a like, no, that's a horrible draft, and you're serious and it's a concrete take, I roll my eyes at that.
What is, I got a lot of questions here. I think the draft for me is what the spring game is for you.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just your irrational excitement.
I really do enjoy seeing players that we watched in college.
Yeah, see where they go, where they're going to land.
And say, like, that guy was really good. Do I think he'll be really good in the NFL? I am interested in that.
You can't wait till you hear that sound tomorrow night.
I do love that sound. Well,
that's a different approach. I think that's maybe more exciting.
Yeah, seeing where guys land. I'm excited.
Sound effect or what I said?
No,
I mean,
what
the sound
you
effect
said
is exciting. It's a good sound
it,
effect.
Approaching it from the college
it
guys,
moves.
We've seen these guys, their games, mature through their college career, and where will they get an opportunity? How will they fit in? As opposed to
right.
All the smokescreen.
Horrible
NFL.
Pick, great pick. This guy sucks. This guy's a terrible person.
Why would you take him there when you can trade back 12 spots and get him?
just amazing. Like it's
just
such
tell me who my team got at the end of the weekend. And
well, hold on. Can we pause? All right, I hear what you're saying, both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not even remotely interested to hear the thoughts from some of these pundits who spend all of this time making 55 mock drafts,
not
talking
really
to people.
not
see,
really,
I am
no.
For, this,
I'll
for the
glance
simple fact
at them.
Of what if they say the guy my team picks that's a reach, I don't really get it, and then he goes out there and he's a beast. I'm curious about that.
I'm like, if he's a beast for my team when the season comes, I'm ecstatic, and
right.
I won't remember where the hell he was picked.
and what grade
your
his
team,
pick
you
was
will.
Given.
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle never lived that one down, or they never let the media live that one down when they had the draft that was, what, a D-minus, and that team ended up being the Legion of Boom that went to back-to-back Super Bowls and should have probably won both of those games.
I mean, if we're being real, that's like the 2004 Pistons example of NFL.
The anomaly of draft grades.
I mean, it really is. It was like all third, fourth, plus round guys became contributing members to a Super Bowl
they
winner.
They did. That doesn't happen very often. It's
right.
A very rare thing in the NFL.
Right.
Where you find a bunch of good players later on. The mock draft stuff to me is I can't do it.
Well, I don't reread every single time they come out because there's legitimately like 15. It feels.
Who
like.
Has the time to do a 7-round mock draft? How long does that take to put together?
You want to call Andrew Nemec and ask him because I think he does.
People do 7. Like you're giving me a mock of the 17th pick and the 6th round of the draft.
I don't read 7-round.
Like what? How do you even like? The chances of even getting remotely close to where guys are going to go that late in the draft is just a shot in the dark.
Yeah, but who's reading that?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
I think people read the first round mocks, maybe the second round, and then that's it.
That to me is like, I'll look at what Jay Billis is, when he fills out a bracket, how does Jay Billis feel about the tournament? Because he follows the sport closer than I do.
Sure.
But it's a quick glance because nobody knows. And we all have a feeling about how the first round of the draft's going to go. Nobody knows. Who had Michael Penix going 8 to Atlanta last year? What mock had that?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And then the whole rest of the first round, there you go. There's your wrench. Now everybody's wrong.
Right. But that doesn't mean the thoughts or the opinions are wrong.
I'm not saying they're all
people.
Wrong or baseless. I'm just saying I don't need to consume that as a sports fan. I'll turn on the draft and be like, hey, see where the guys end up. But reading somebody's mock draft does nothing for me.
What do you like more, the NCAA tournament or the NFL draft?
NFL draft, slightly, by a nose at the finish line. It's the actual draft night I do enjoy. Like sitting down,
the
watching the first round, the festivities at Lambeau. Like that part of it is truly entertaining for me.
The spectacle's good.
And I'm with you, like finding out where guys go out of the weekend of like, hey, where did all the Ducks go? Where did Tez Johnson get drafted? Like, there's little storylines that I'm excited to watch and follow. I will not be watching the draft, but I'll, check my phone on Sunday and see, okay, who went in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round. It's just the lead up to it and then the immediate reaction to it that I can't stand.
Yeah, I don't watch Saturday, Sunday.
No, there's no point to.
I barely watch all of Friday.
There's real sports on television.
Yeah, we got playoff hockey.
Playoff stuff going on. Basketball.
I got my Bravos. You guys got your Doyers and your Giants.
I'm still wondering how we're going to juggle all of this tomorrow, because tomorrow's a decent little night in the NBA. It's a multiple screen night. You got to be flipping around. You got six
screens
going.
The NFL draft is the iPad.
It's the iPad for you?
Yeah. Because they're still, the picks, are only coming out every 10 minutes.
Even the first pick of the draft, start of the draft.
It's Cam Ward.
Titans are on the clock.
The suspense is too.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Turn it on after the first pick.
I actually.
Where did the Browns go with the second overall pick?
Probably more often than not, we know the first pick at this point, right? Every year?
Usually.
More often than not.
Usually we do.
One of my pet peeves about that event, we don't need the clock. Titans, get your asses out there.
Make the pick. What are we running down?
Announce
here?
It. Yeah. Get me to the Browns on the clock. Now, here we go. We're really living.
Because Knicks and Pistons in Detroit's going to be a spectacle tomorrow night.
I'm so excited for Detroit
fans.
And
I think that starts right around the same time. I mean, what time's the draft begin?
5?
Is it 5?
Coverage is all day. I think they go
34
there.
Right, yeah. 34 hours, 52 minutes, and 29 seconds.
They actually
is what the
go
is.
To the desk with Greeny and Kuiper at 4, and then the commissioner comes out at 5.
So like 5:10, 15,
so 5,
whatever
10,
it is.
15, the
be nice
first
if it
pick
hits
will be made.
In the end of the first half of that game. That'd be a nice little window to fall in.
Yeah,
if basketball games go to halftime, you can flip that to the iPad, put the first couple of picks of the draft on the big screen, and then when the game's picked back up, you flip them back over.
I had the YouTube multi-view up last night on my television when I got home from basketball practice, and so I had 2 basketball games, I had 2 hockey events.
Look at you, quad boxing it up.
Well, you had timeout and halftime, so I had the hockey game on, New Jersey and the Hurricanes.
Yes.
And nice little late goal there to make it 3-1.
There was.
And I'm watching this game, and my wife's like, why are you watching hockey? She said it exactly in that tone.
Wow, the disrespect.
And I went, well, it's a quad box. The other games are on commercial or halftime.
It's playoffs.
Sports. It's playoffs.
It's not game 52.
And she goes, which one's the better team? And I was like, yep.
That one.
The red one.
The red one.
Well, last night they were green.
Yeah, you just go home.
What were those uniforms? When did Carolina wear like weird green uniforms?
Green. They weren't green.
They were not wearing green uniforms last night. Are you colorblind?
You're colorblind.
I'm pretty sure you're colorblind.
What was the other hockey game on at the same time as Carolina Jersey then?
What was the other game going on earlier?
Well, was the Wild on? Yeah, but that was late. That was later. 8 p.m.
You had Ottawa, Toronto was
Ottawa,
the other
Toronto.
Early game.
I saw the Ottawa, Toronto game.
Now, New Jersey has a little green in their jersey with the devil, but it's not the main color.
Carolina was wearing black jerseys yesterday.
And I smoked too much weed.
I think you might have. I think we might have found out that you think black is green. We've had the color controversy
the color
many
issue
a time
before on what green is.
You clearly don't know what the color green
maybe
is.
I think green is red.
Celtics I think we've now won hockey. That argument a month later. I think that has now come full circle. You clearly don't know what the color green is.
Hold on a second here.
Because I actually love those Carolina jerseys, the black ones with the like raised flag and the front of it,
flags,
the hurricane flag. It's awesome.
Come on ESPN. Why do we have That's highlight good- videos? On your box score website, but I got to watch a Pete Davidson commercial for 15 seconds.
It's the worst.
Also,
Verizon's everywhere.
I like
right
Pete
now.
Davidson. I don't find him funny ever in a commercial.
No.
No.
I don't know if that's the writing. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's black jersey.
It was a glance up. You know
it's
what I mean?
Glance. It's glance in the corner. Up, it's a quad box. It's
I was doing show stuff.
It's
what
a
do you
smaller
want from
me? Picture when you watch four games at one time.
I'm acknowledging that is black. I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah,
damn
I actually
it.
Enjoy. Sometimes I'll do the quad box just because I don't like the tri box. I'm not a tri box guy. I find the quad box easier to watch than the tri box.
You like a full space. Symmetry. You don't
I
like asymmetry.
I like the full picture. Yeah. I don't like That's having weird. The blank spaces on top and bottom of one of them.
That's a little weird.
Give me four. Give me four games at once.
I want to ask you guys this since we were on the subject. How many more years does Mel Kiper do this?
I don't know.
He's probably making good money.
He's not even a
he
top
works like
three,
4 months out of the year.
This is all he does.
But I'm telling you right now, like, I'm saying this with a lot of confidence.
Mm.
I don't even think he's in people's top, like people that like the draft and love the NFL. I don't think he's in their top five of people they listen to or read.
He's lost his voice. Is that what you're telling me? He used to be the leader in the clubhouse on this.
Well, they elevate him up, so they put him on all their programming. But like, I think that's about seniority and not like actual people who follow the draft.
Yeah,
think I'm wrong or right?
I think you're right on that take. I think that's a correct take.
Because when I talk to people, and Nimick's one of these people, like draft sickos, it's almost always, I don't believe anything he says.
It's funny that only Mel Kiper gets that, though. Like, I don't believe anything anybody says would be my approach going in if I consumed a lot of draft content.
I mean, there are people that are, like, pretty...
I'm not saying that people aren't
putting in the work.
Yeah, I'm not saying people aren't putting in the work, but you can't. I mean, you can't predict it. It's like picking a bracket.
No, 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 you
can't.
See, you keep going to this like, did you get your prediction right thing? That's like not that important.
You're
for draft
evaluating
pundits.
Talent is what you're doing.
Yes.
You're grading players.
Yes.
Why are some people more qualified to do that than others? What's the hit rate on Field Yates?
Well, I can't tell you the field. I can't tell you the hit rate, but I would say qualified. I mean, they watch film and they understand the sport better than I do.
I think Mel Kiper does too.
I see.
That's why I find
it.
You don't think he watches any film?
I don't know if he does the way that people think he would.
Yeah,
anymore.
I think he definitely does. I think he's a sicko and he eats pumpkin pie and he's probably watching a lot of film. I don't care what their opinions are because nobody knows. Nobody has any clue. That's the grain of salt that I will add to
this. Well, but you keep saying that. What do you mean by nobody knows, nobody has any clue?
Nobody
know if a player is going to be good or not.
Not all the time. No, they don't.
No, not all the time, but they're pretty informed.
Yeah, I think the hit rate on these guys coming out of college, there's easy ones to identify, and then there's a bunch of guys that will not get a single breath spoken the entire weekend who will go on to be Hall of Fame players. Why
100%.
Is that?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of the luck of the draw.
Which is why I
Brock
don't
Purdy, right?
Exactly. He's last pick of the draft.
And he was a $50 million contract.
He's a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. How much were we talking about Aaron Donald coming out of Pitt?
I mean, Aaron Donald was looked at as a pretty good little prospect.
Sure. Was he a top five pick?
I can't remember.
Was he a top
10
pick?
Picked.
Was he a top 15 pick?
He didn't slip into like the fourth round.
He wasn't a fourth round pick, but I'm saying I find it hilarious that
he was a 13th overall pick.
Okay, I find it hilarious.
That's a pretty good pick.
I find it hilarious. The only guys we will talk about or focus on are guys near the top of everybody's draft board, and about 40% of them will wash out of the NFL in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
A handful of them will be good. One or two of them will become all pro type players, and then the majority of the elite players in the NFL draft will be guys that don't get their name mentioned once the entire time.
Yeah, but see, I think if you're really in the world, like if you're really into the draft weeds, you're not just talking about the four quarterbacks and a receiver.
Of course you're not.
You are talking about whether Shamar Stewart is worthy of a top 12 pick considering absolute athletic freak who almost did no sacks.
Yeah, the way I feel about the NFL draft, I think NFL and Major League Baseball are the same. That there are so many rounds and so many random players and random stories that you like the NBA draft is one thing because the overwhelming majority of star players in the NBA are drafted where?
Yeah.
Overwhelming majority. Within the top 10, yes. You know where they're going to be taken. We know who the guys are.
The ones that are
going
to move the needle.
We identify them going in, and they usually live up. Not always, but for the most part, you're like, LeBron James, he's going to be good. He's the number one pick in the draft. That's the way the NBA works. The NFL is not that way.
Boy, you are really poo-pooing this. I'm learning something about you today.
I mean, I'll watch. First round's fun to watch. I'll watch it tomorrow night. But I find the coverage
you like
of
the
it,
spectacle of
the
it.
Spectacle of it is fun. But the whole coverage of it and the mock drafts and the, you know, and how dare you take this guy in the third round. No, we have no clue what we're talking about.
Swag, are you surprised to discover this version of him? I didn't know he
I think Swag's with
way.
Me on this.
Not to the extreme that you are.
But you agree with the overall sentiment.
All the buildup, it's like, okay, I just want to get to it and start to see how it plays out.
Well, how did the Eagles build up last year work out for him? They had two rookie DBs and they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm not saying you don't. Guys don't.
Of course,
I'm more interested
guys.
After the fact in the analysis after the fact. All of the buildup going into it, I think there's a lot of hyperbole and smoke screens, and it gets nauseating. Once it actually starts happening,
then
and
it's
you
fun.
See what teams.
You guys don't like pregame shows.
Not really. No, I host one, and I find them a little useless at times. Because I don't know what's going to happen in the game. I can break it down for you in the aftermath. I'll tell you what happened.
All you need. I'm
trying to predict what's going
to
happen.
And
I got
doing
no clue.
Pre-games, a half hour is plenty of time to get you geared up for a game. That's it.
We don't need to hear a pregame host say that out loud.
Yeah. I mean, Cooper DeJean was the 40th pick in the draft last year.
But people love that pickup.
They did.
Pundits noted, like, that's a really good pick.
He also got talked about a lot because he's a white corner. And that's white corners are, you know, they're a...
Yeah, but they also took Quinyon Mitchell.
They're an extinct species.
I'm just saying.
That's why,
like,
it was a big deal.
I think what you pay attention to as a non-draft guy is, like, the best way I could phrase this without being offensive, you're a basic Mitch with the draft. We turn on ESPN and you see the quarterback conversations and, oh, is JT going to go five? Like, and then that's kind of it for you because you don't care.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, like, Cooper DeJean was talked about, not just because he was a white DB, that was a big part of it.
That was a big part of
but
it.
But also, like, somebody's going to get him, and it's going to be a good value pick.
Yeah.
Now, how many more years is Kuiper going to do this?
Five. I'll give him five more years.
Five more years?
I'll give him five.
How old is Mel Kuiper?
He's pretty old, but I don't know if he's that. I don't know if he's like, wow, he's like, oh my God, I can't believe how old he is.
Well, we got a loaded show.
He's 64.
He's 64. He's going to go until he's 69.
I think he will.
Nice.
He's going to go 69.
Dirt's coming out the gate. He's breathing fire today. That's his hump day. Hello, I'm here and I'm ready to do sports radio. So there we go.
Got my takes ready. I can't wait. I'm going to tell you all the locks in the NFL draft. I got them all in my hip pocket.
Thank you. I appreciate
who are the
that.
Hall of Famers going to be? I know.
God,
I'll let you know.
We got a lot to get to. Basketball, football. It's good to be with you. Let's get it going next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Alan and Craig. Mr. Poopy Pants and Sprague.
Yeah, I'll take a dump on you on a hump day. I'll do it today.
NFL draft poo-pooer extraordinaire. We have a comedian at 7:30. We haven't had a comedian on the show in a long time.
It's been a very long time. We used to have him all the time. Now we don't anymore.
Sam Morrill's going to join us. He's got a show on May 5th here in Portland. So he's going to hop on, and he's got multiple specials out. He's been in the comedy game forever, and he's a diehard Knicks fan as well.
Which I'm curious how he feels tomorrow night. Pretty big game. Pretty big game.
Maybe we can, like, give each other thoughts on each other's teams. Like, we tell him what we think about his Knicks and how we view them, and he tells us how he views the Portland Trail Blazers.
Ah, the New Yorker's perspective on the Blazers. We'd be surprised if he just says, who?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm expecting.
They still play. Yeah. They still got a team. Yeah, we still play. Still on her.
I want to get to the Bucks-Pacers stuff here, but I want to ask very quickly, should the NBA step in and just cancel the rest of the Memphis OKC series? Because
that, I mean, I hope not, because that just feels like free money. I bet pretty big on them minus 14 and a half last night. I don't know what the line's going to be for game three, but I'm gonna
hammered it up to 19
gonna,
and get it covered.
I'm going to bet again.
Well, 18 and a half.
I will bet. I hope that they allow the next two games to be played, but to the larger point, you can cancel it. Nobody needs to watch that.
Yeah, that's not a series I'm going to pay much attention to.
No.
Got to be honest with you.
The only reason it was on my TV, quad box. It's part of the quad box that I selected. Outside of that, I'm not going anywhere near OKC Memphis.
Milwaukee, Indiana, you know, interesting. I don't really know. The games haven't largely been that close. The Pacers are up double digits most of the way in this one. Yeah, Bucks made it interesting at the end.
Yeah, they tried at the end.
Giannis has been outstanding, and Damian Lillard came back last night from his blood clot injury. But what's been brewing now from game one, and it carried over into game two. By the way, Dame, 4-13.
He did not have a good night.
Not a great night.
Nope.
Tyrese Halliburton was recently, and I have some stuff in my notes on this player poll that The Athletic ran. And so they ask all these random questions, and one of the questions is most overrated player in the league. Tyrese Halliburton was voted by a very substantially wide margin.
Overwhelming majority of players.
The most overrated player in the league. Yeah. Now, the percentages, there's like 160 votes here per question. And so you can go through it and say, well, it's not really represented. And I'd say, yeah, well, they still spoke out about who they thought the most overrated. I'm trying to find it here on the article because there's most underrated. All right, here we go. So most overrated player. It's Tyrese Halliburton with 14.5%. It's then Rudy Gobert, Trae Young, Jimmy Butler is ahead of Bradley Beal, Draymond Green, Ja Morant, Julius Randle, Joel Embiid, Giannis.
Whoa.
Giannis and Dylan Brooks are both the same amount of overrated.
Same amount of overrated.
So is LeBron James.
Nah, I mean, come on, overrated. He's not Jordan, not clutch.
And so we can get to some of that stuff, but Tyrese Halliburton and Dame Lillard quite literally hate each other.
It seems like Dame is not the only one that's in this camp, and I think the poll results that you just read kind of back that up, that a lot of the NBA feels that way. There clearly seems to be, and we talked about this going into game two last night, when you get what happened to Dame at the end of game one, him yelling back and them kind of hollering at each other, it takes something to get Dame to that point. He doesn't just do that willy-nilly on any given night. He's not a Draymond Green or a Dylan Brooks of the NBA. He's not a villain. He's not a trash talker. He's a pretty quiet guy. And so when you get him that animated and that emotional, to me, it tells there's a backstory there. And then I think all of this further evidence is pointing to the fact that the rest of the NBA largely agrees with him. And I got to back the rest of the NBA on this. I do think Tyrese Halliburton is an incredibly overrated player in the NBA.
Really?
I do, yeah. Hmm. When I look up and down last year's Olympic roster, he's one that I'm just like, yeah.
Was Dame on the Olympic roster?
No, he was not. No, he was not.
I mean, Jason Tatum also didn't really play.
He didn't really play, no. But I just, one of these is not like the other.
Here was Tyrese Halliburton in the postgame on his beef with Dame.
We're just competitors. I think that's what it is. He wants to win. I want to win. It's the highest level. You know, we're in the highest level in the most contentious moment here in the playoffs. He wants to win. I want to win. You know, we want to win. They want to win. So it's just competition at the end of the day. But, yeah, I mean, we don't have to sit here and act like, you know, it's any secret. We don't like them. They don't like us. And that's just what it is. And they live for this. We live for this. So, you know, I could care less. I'm out here just trying to help my team win games. So there's got to be a little bit of back and forth. There's got to be a little back and forth. But I'm here to win.
Is this series over, or do you still give Milwaukee a chance to come back from 2-0?
That feels like it's over. If it does. I just, unless Dame can pull a mat, you know, a rabbit out of his hat, if you will. He clearly was rusty. He hadn't played a game in what, yeah, a month and a half?
I mean, two months almost.
Team is just, there's not a lot of ass team.
They need just both of those guys to be lights out in order to win. Now, maybe you get a little home cooking, you win a game at home.
They had 28 from Portis last night off the bench.
And it was
Are they going to get that again?
No. No.
So even if Dame goes up to 28 and Portis goes down from 28, like, I just think they're a garbage team. They're only going to win a game or be back in the series because of one dude.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that because I like Dame. I root for Dame. The reality
is, Giannis has to be superhuman.
Giannis has been superhuman. He had 34, 18, and 7 last night. If Jokic did that, oh my God, Jokic still up. Giannis does it, but his team sucks. So we don't really care. Jokic was terrible at the end of that fourth quarter the other night.
Not clutch. Triple, triple.
Not clutch, man.
Not clutch.
Anti-Jokic. But his team sucks. His team's terrible.
Yeah, his team sucks.
No,
yeah.
It's not a complete roster.
Taurean Prince and Kyle Kuzma are in the starting lineup of Giannis's playoff team.
I understand.
It's not good, Bob. It's not good.
Do you rather have
where's he going to get traded?
Aaron Gordon or Jamal Murray in your starting lineup, yes, or Kyle Kuzma and Taurean Prince?
Yes. Kyle Kuzma's pretty good.
But y'all can't just save us all from the
I don't know who you're taking shots at right now, but it's quite entertaining.
I just like, I've been watching the Bucks all season. It's a garbage ass roster.
It is.
And look, I think he's great. I think he's more than willing or deserving, I would say, of the MVP. But I'm like,
I mean, come on. And we watch Milwaukee's roster. At least Jokic still has a Murray, an Aaron Gordon.
Sure. If you put Giannis on Oklahoma City's roster, what's their win total difference? Oh, right? I mean, undefeated. And what kind of numbers does he have? That's the whole point on SGA. That's a pretty damn good team that he's got around him. He's a hell of a player. But I'd laugh at the notion that he was the clear-cut MVP over Jokic or Giannis for the years that they had. On the Halliburton note, too, like this guy, I mean, he's been in the league for, what, 7 years now, I believe?
I believe so, yeah.
6 or 7 years.
Is this in the conference finals?
Sure.
Why do you poo-poo that?
It's the East. That's why I poo-poo it. I could get
you're
to the
East. You're just poo-pooing everything.
I could get to the conference finals in the East.
Okay? I'm poo-pooing Jokic, you're poo-pooing everything.
The three of us and a role player could get to the conference finals in the East. The East has sucked my entire life, okay? I think your daughter's basketball team could make it to the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
We went 0-4.
You know how many times in his career in 7 years he's averaged 20 points per game?
I don't.
Once?
Twice.
Is that the measure of a great player to you?
One of them. Hmm. He's a slightly better version of Anfernee Simons.
Why has the East sucked every year?
Forever. The Atlanta Hawks made an Eastern Conference final. The East blows.
It's always
so. I'm not giving you like
always sucked.
Congratulations. You won the B. You didn't even win the B League. You made it to the championship of the B League.
Tell you right now, I don't know about the Halliburton overrated thing. I know this confidently. What are the Pacers doing with that floor and jersey combination?
It's horrible, man. Horrible. They're also a team, and
they got
an
all-time great logo.
Yeah,
the colors, the jersey.
Yeah,
and they're like, let's wear graffiti.
It's gonna be cool.
Let's make the court a grayish
stand
black
out
highlighter color.
I also look at them
is
and
this
just
the IST dress for the occasion.
Yeah, it does look like an IST jersey. They're feeling good. They're up 2-0. They're probably gonna win this series. It's likely over unless Dame and Giannis, figure out some sort of miracle in the next couple of days. I also look at them and just kind of laugh because they're a better version of a no man's land team. They got no chance at competing for an NBA championship. No chance.
The Pacers?
No chance. Hmm. Even if you get to a conference finals, I'm still not giving you a chance to win the title.
They have a 28-1 chance, according to
DraftKings. You're not beating Cleveland. You're not beating Boston. And even if you get out, you're not beating whoever the hell comes out of the... Like, there's no chance. And they're a good team without a star player to lead them. And they're a better version of a lot of other teams in the NBA.
More NBA dealings. We'll get to that coming up next. We got NFL draft conversation around the corner as well. Durant Sprague back with more on The Fan. I had a daycare provider who constantly watched this show. I hate this song.
Trying to think of my youth. I think this was, I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday nights. This followed by
Thursday.
Fantasy Island.
Oh, yeah.
ABC.
Little swag running to the TV, excited to watch it.
Little you gotta swag. You got to see Charo going coochie, coochie,
20-year-old
coochie.
Swag?
It was like eight.
The Love Boat.
I do miss a good TV theme, though. Do kids have TV shows that have great themes nowadays? I feel like the TV theme has gone right out the window.
Yeah, I don't.
It's a good question. Yeah, I feel like the intro is known, but it's not necessarily a song anymore. Like the Game of Thrones one would be memorable.
It's
but
it's music and it's a visual that goes with it.
I feel like that's what most shows go with now, more so than the theme song.
Than the old-fashioned theme
that
song.
We all would remember and sing along to.
Yeah, but like think of how many television theme songs that if they, like right there. Swag came in today not even thinking about The Love Boat.
I'd slip that one in for him. I knew he would like it.
And then as soon as it went on.
And the guy is singing.
He starts dancing.
He remembers those lyrics. Yes.
He does. You know it just like that.
Come aboard. We're expecting you.
I know the Gilligan's Island theme. And that show was briefly on in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, from your childhood shows, you will never forget those theme songs.
Never.
Ever.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Step by Step. I mean, just you will never forget that.
Swag, do you know the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme? Like, if it started, would you be able to,
I would get most of it and pick it up, yeah.
You swag's like, in West Philadelphia, born and raised.
On the playground is where I spent most of my days.
Yeah. Everybody knows that song, man. It's one of the most universally known songs in America.
Who's this white guy on the playground? Get him out of here.
He caused a little too much trouble.
Oh, my God. The Love Boat.
The Love Boat. Surprised. Have they ever tried to reprise that? I feel like that's all we do in television and movie now. Have we done a new version of The Love Boat?
Well, Don Johnson's on a cruise he's on like an SC show, but it's about the doctor.
Oh, he's not doing a CSI show or something?
No, this is it's the theme. It's about a cruise ship. He's the captain, but it's based around the doctor.
The doctor.
Can I publicly apologize?
Sure.
I'm actually a big Jokic fan.
Yeah, you got a little aggressive there with Jokic in the last segment.
You know,
he's a hell of a player.
I call it how I see it. What I see is, I see a guy that had a really good game the other night.
Yeah.
And he didn't finish the greatest.
Nope.
Didn't hear or feel like I saw much criticism, if at all. And
I don't feel like, maybe I'm...
He doesn't really get knocked down a peg, is kind of my point. He is always at the top, and he is deserving of being there. His numbers are great.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't make sense in my brain. He's one of my all-time favorites. But he also escapes the criticism.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a Giannis...
This is where I guess maybe I'm not in the bubble. Doesn't. Maybe it was the player poll that had him as an overrated player, which is just laughable. I don't. If you're is Giannis criticism the takeaway from it for anybody from that game last night? Because if it is, get a CAT scan.
I just kind of
cut his juice.
Look, yes, you're right. I think most people
agree.
He was
unbelievable. I think most people with a rational brain can look at that and say he was great. Dame was rusty. There's literally nothing else on that roster, and they even got a good Bobby Portis game, which you can't rely on. That's why they're losing. It's because the team sucks.
I'm asking of teams with star level, like superstar level player in the playoffs, is there a player with a worse roster than him?
Ooh, that's a fun question.
It ain't the T-Wolves. It ain't the Lakers.
No.
It ain't the Thunder.
No.
You don't think Halliburton's a star, right? Boston's loaded.
The Knicks don't have anybody at that level of Giannis.
Of the star players.
Yeah, Giannis is above anybody on the Knicks.
Or Jokic.
Right. Yeah, I agree
with
that.
But you would take that, like, if you say
Brunson's
their star, you would take his supporting cast over what they have in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
I don't think there is. I don't.
Golden State, no.
No, because you'd have Butler and Draymond Green. If you have Butler and Draymond Green alongside Giannis, it'd be pretty intimidating.
And if Mitchell's the star in Cleveland, that roster's better. Like,
yeah.
It's an awful situation.
It's not a good one for him.
And they've had multiple times where they make a move, and I'm like, what are you doing? Kyle Kuzma.
That was your deadline addition. They moved Middleton, and they got Kyle Kuzma.
I knew Middleton wasn't going to go for a whole lot. But, like, you either make that trade a year earlier because you understand that he's not staying healthy, or you kind of ride it out because I'm sorry to tell you, Chris Middleton's giving you the same amount of production as Kyle Kuzma is.
Yes, he is. He's just a little bit older. He knows your system a little bit better. And he's more trusted in the locker room and more liked in the locker room.
He's deserving of it. He helped you win a championship for the first time since Kareem was a Buck.
He was pretty good.
Like, at least give him that.
Yeah, it's just that
ridiculous.
One, that has divorce written all over it. How that divorce goes, who gets dealt, what Dame could get traded for, does Giannis request out? Like, that has blow up written all over it in the relatively short term, which would suck because he was one of those guys that I would hope people said about Dame for a long time in Portland of like, man, I hope, like, he's Milwaukee. He's been there for so long. Mm. And they've had, like, go back and look at early Giannis highlights and remember, like, oh, that's right, those are their old jerseys. Like, different iterations of the franchise. He's been there forever, and I never wanted to see him leave, but maybe he's one of these loyal dudes that's just like, whatever, man, I'll ride it out and continue to be dominant, and I don't care if we're competing for championships or not.
Oh,
but
he cares.
There is not a pathway for them to do that. There just isn't. That's the reality that they have to face. So it's a pivot of, we can keep changing parts around him, and what are you going to get for Dame? They don't have future draft capital. We control it for the next handful of years. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. There are no options outside of, unfortunately, we gotta cut bail here and start over.
We'll get to some NFL draft stuff at the top of the hour. We'll dive into LeBron and Luka beating the Timberwolves in their second game of that series as well. Sam Morrill is going to join us at 7:30. Coming up next, though, this show will pay respect to a legend. We will. Next on The Fan. Well, we're going to dive into Dirt's favorite topic in sports. The NFL draft chatter.
Yes!
Chatter.
Who's going where? What are we saying about the prospects? There's only 34 hours, 10 minutes, and 39 seconds remaining until the draft begins.
Before we get into that, though, and we'll get into the other playoff stuff. All right, calm your britches. We'll get into LeBron, Luka. We're good.
Maple Leafs avoiding a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on the show sheet.
Maple Leafs Stanley Cup ticket. Getting hotter by the day. 2-0, first round lead.
We had an overtime game in the the hockey yesterday.
We did.
Yeah, it was a good game.
We did.
We had the Wild pull an upset in Vegas.
Vegas.
They brought it.
They torched them.
Brought it.
Put me to bed early.
They got wild.
They did.
They got wild in Vegas.
The Minnesota boys. We'll get to all of that. Stat or Story Wednesday as well.
I have a phenomenal story.
Really?
Phenomenal story.
I hope it's butt stuff.
It's not butt stuff this week. It's,
turtle stuff?
Wait and find out.
We will pay tribute properly here. I have not heard this man's name in a while. I thought about him a couple years ago and just been like, what was the last thing I remember hearing him do? But this guy was very influential in my sports fandom as a child. Mike Patrick passed away yesterday at 80, and I know that's not, for a lot of people, Nance and Michaels and Summerall or, Harlan.
Vin Scully.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, I think about the impact he had in my life as a sports fan, and all these sports commentators did, the ESPN anchors, like, all of them. Dude, he was, for me, give you an idea of where I was age-wise, like, of a real age of understanding more nuanced sports stuff, not being six and being like, go sports! Mike Patrick was the voice of Sunday Night Football for
me. He was, on ESPN.
And he helped me really fall in love with college basketball, Duke, North Carolina, him and Dickie V.
ACC games,
man. ACC games. He was a huge part of my sports life. And I don't remember the last game I remember him doing, but
I believe he stepped away in 2018. I think 2018 was his last year.
You could ask me for $1 million to name what the game was, and I don't think I could name it, but I loved Mike Patrick. I actually thought he was a really good voice. He had a sound to me of, like, comfort.
Yes.
Sports comfort.
It takes you back to a nostalgia lane where you just, that's the way it should sound.
Yes.
In your head when you think about it.
Yes.
If you were to, like, if we got a random mail sack question one day and, like, who is your off the wall favorite commentator that never gets talked about?
He would be mine.
He would 100% be my favorite commentator. And I think what made him so special is what you highlighted. The number of different things that he called, like, he had his hands in everything.
Yeah, he did.
It wasn't just one event. Like, he did the NFL's first guy to, I believe, ever call an NFL game on ESPN. He did ACC basketball games forever, back when college basketball was great and relevant, and we were watching the regular season. He did the College World Series for years and years and years. He was the voice of that when Oregon State went and won back-to-back national championships. Like, he was a longtime voice there. And he called college football games forever on ESPN. Like, there is something about the way his voice sounded, the memories that you have listening to his calls and his highlights.
You could hear him smiling and being genuinely enthusiastic and happy and grateful to be doing what he was doing.
I loved Mike Patrick, man. This one hurt yesterday.
Here is some cuts from Mike Patrick, just because this show, and I hope you guys out there feel the same way. Mike Patrick, I think, underrated. Here was Mike Patrick introducing the yellow first down line. He was actually on the game.
1998. First time it ever appeared on television.
When they introduced it on Sunday Night Football.
Welcome back to Baltimore. To help you better enjoy our Sunday night coverage, ESPN unveils its latest technical innovation on tonight's game. It's ESPN's first and 10. The gold-colored line you'll see appears to be painted on the field, but it's really being electronically generated by us. It's a visual reference for you to always know the yard line an offense has to reach for a first down. While it is accurate to 1/10 of a yard, it won't be used to question officials' marks or measurements. It is purely to help you enjoy and understand the game. ESPN's first and 10. We think you're going to like
it. Isn't it funny to think
still
of, like,
here?
1998 of
crazy.
Like, I don't remember that being, I was so young that pre-yellow line, post-yellow line. I don't remember the difference.
Was the coolest invention ever.
But just like, oh my God.
I remember when Fox brought on the
first down. There's a first down line on the field.
Yeah.
You remember the first time
Fox brought in the score bug. So there was a score bug that was permanently on your screen. That
they used to just flash it randomly during the game.
Yeah, kind of in between plays or after scores. Yeah.
You guys remember the first down where the guy lands on the digital yellow line and you're like, they got a first. And then they measured and they were short and you're like, wait a minute.
There was the yellow line. It was over the line.
And then they had to start, well, it's not exact that yellow line.
99.9%.
He had this circulating yesterday because this was during an SEC football game. Just one of the more random comments maybe in sports broadcasting history.
I have an important question. What is Brittany doing with her life?
Who?
Brittany.
Brittany who?
Spears. What is she doing with her career?
Why do we care at this point? Is she here? I don't think so.
I don't think, just by the way, for I'm pretty sure that was a Georgia-Alabama game that was in overtime.
Yes.
When he said that, and they were like, what?
I think this was around the time she shaved her head, though.
The foresight, though, to see that coming, was Mike Patrick right or was Mike Patrick right?
I'll play this, and I know it's a little over, but I want to play this. People forget he was also on the broadcast of the Music City Miracle.
Yes.
And so here he was. The Bills had just scored to take the 16-15 lead. Remember, they had switched quarterbacks going into that game. Controversial move. And here was the call leading in to the Music City Miracle.
And the Tennessee Titans are just crushed. 16 seconds left. They still have a prayer, but not much more.
Well, they have two timeouts. And the one thing that I would not do is squib kick this thing short.
No, I'd kick it deep. I would make them use as much of the clock and take my chances on a return, as opposed to squib kicking it, let him get it
good
with
call,
about 12
Joe.
Seconds to go and a possibility for a play.
Dyson and Bird are deep. Taken by Neal. He gives it to Wycheck. Wycheck, that looked like a forward pass. Taken by Dyson. Dyson's on the sideline. Dyson's going to go all the way. And there is no flag.
That looked like a forward pass.
I mean, it was a forward pass, but, you know, why let replay reviews get in the way of great NFL memories?
You know what Swag said to me this morning? I said, let's get some Mike Patrick stuff, and so we were loading some audio, and Swag goes, he made Theismann. What did you say? He made Theismann bearable.
Palatable.
Yeah, that was not an easy thing. That's your best compliment as a broadcaster. If your color analyst is that bad that you're like, all right, I can put up with this
guy. I got to be honest. I guess I just don't remember a whole lot of like being bothered by Joe Theismann back in the day, but clearly Swigard did.
I remember not being in love with Joe Theismann. Mm. Now, it's probably an old NFC East rivalry thing there too. Who knows? But old Joe Theismann was not my favorite guy.
R.I.P. Mike Patrick. Lived to 80, got to his Jerry Rice year.
80 years old, people say you used to know he was calling a game because there'd be a hand sticking out of the window in the booth with a lit cigarette. And when you walked down on the field and you looked up and you saw the smoke coming from the booth, Mike Patrick is here and he's on the call.
Light a heater in the pearly gates, my man. Good job, career well done. Big Mike Patrick fans on this show. We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. I want to start with some NFL draft chatter. Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.